The only reality is that change is happening. Whether you choose to accept it or not, that's your personal choice. It's going to happen whether you want it to or not. We're constantly in a state of flux. The future has never been more uncertain. That's our reality.
Welcome back, Future Proofers. I'm Bill Sheridan. Let's talk a little today about client expectations, shall we? They're changing, you know. I mean, you do know that, right? That the expectations of our clients and customers are different than they were, say, 5, 10, 15 years ago. And the reason, in large part, is technology. It allows us to do more than we ever could before. So, of course, we're going to expect more. Let's take search as just one example. I'm reading a really interesting book right now. It's the latest by George Gilder called Life After Google: The Fall of Big Data and the Rise of the Blockchain Economy. Early on in the book, Gilder makes the point that folks who search the internet, everybody, in other words, are really impatient. We don't like to wait. Gilder says research bears this out. It shows that we're generally satisfied when results are delivered within 1/20th of a second. Anything slower than that, and we start to get a little bit antsy, right? A marketing expert by the name of Sally Hogshead, she spoke at the recent CCH user conference in Miami Beach, and she made this stunning claim, kind of on a related note. She said, the attention span of the average human is now about 9 seconds. She says that's shorter than the attention span of a goldfish. Now, whether or not that claim is true is up for debate, but her point is valid. We just don't like to wait, and technology is the reason. We get this stuff faster than ever. Why should we wait? Changing expectations, right? I mean, Amazon can deliver pretty much anything to anybody in one day with one click. And now, thanks to Alexa, we don't even have to click. We can just say what we want. Are we delivering that kind of experience to our clients and customers because they're starting to expect it? And that's where this week's guest comes in. He's Ryan Estes. He's a sales and leadership expert who gave the keynote address at that very same CCH user conference. And he says services like Netflix and Uber and Airbnb, they represent a huge shift in customer experience. Even a company like Starbucks is disrupting this area. Starbucks doesn't compete on price. They can't, really. They compete on customer experience. So much so that Esta says that it's not even in the coffee business anymore. It's in the human connection business. That's why they can charge so much for their coffee. We'll talk about all of this and what it all means for accounting and finance pros here in a minute. First, here's what caught my eye this week. It's an article in Accounting Today. The author, Ranika Arrowsmith, attended a recent roundtable at New York University where David Yermak, who's a legal, economics, and finance expert and an accounting professor at NYU's Stern School of Business, he said he believes the audit profession may be dead in 10 years. In a decade, dead. The audit profession. And the reason, he says, is blockchain. That's that decentralized, distributed, transparent, and secure ledger that is the foundational technology behind cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin. Let me read you three excerpts from this article. First, Yermak says, quote, the distributed ledger reduces the need for audit by 97%. Auditors in the future will be competing on the basis of productivity, which means essentially who has the fastest hardware and software. And fraud, in the classical sense, will be all but impossible, end quote. Second, Arrowsmith continues by writing this. She says, quote, Yermak is not alone in his gloomy view of the future of the audit profession, although he may be one of the few to state this sentiment so boldly. The American Institute of CPAs is very aware of how AI is changing the sampling process drastically already, and recently launched an initiative to build what it's calling a dynamic audit solution that it hopes will drastically change the methodology of audits. At its recent user conference, Sage Intacct shared a similar plan. The company wants to build software that shifts audit from after the fact to real time and continuous, end quote. And finally, third, there's this. Arrowsmith writes, Ryan Lazanis, a CPA and CA who was also at the NYU discussion, didn't quite share Yermak's view that audit will die, but does think the role of the auditor will change, perhaps drastically, but that it will remain an important part of the auditing of accounting services, rather. Lazanis said, quote, an auditor's job has two parts. First, to provide independent verification of third-party data, but also to apply accounting standards and use judgment to verify that the record is valid and accurate. The audit role will shift more to the second part than the first. And Lazarus went on to say that blockchain, as it develops, will be an interesting tool for auditors as it provides the ultimate audit trail. Expertise in blockchain will be highly sought after by firms in the future, end quote. That's technology changing client expectations. And that's why accounting and finance pros need to pay attention to this stuff. And again, my guest this week, Ryan Estes, says he actually switched CPAs about 18 months ago because his old CPA just wasn't future ready and therefore wasn't helping him become future ready. Estes told me, quote, he said, as my business complexity evolves and I'm preparing to grow into the future, I need to make sure that I have a team of professionals around me that is anticipating my needs, that makes a commitment to deeply understanding my business and my plans for the future. I need a strategic advisor, not someone who prepares my taxes and responds to my requests. And those are two very different relationships, end quote. Important stuff here, folks, about client expectations and whether or not we're prepared to meet them in the changing and complex world. Here is Ryan Estes.
Help our members kind of understand the urgency of what's happening today when it comes to all this change in complexity, because I think a lot of them either don't get it or haven't really been paying attention to it.
Well, sure. Change in complexity and just change in the world is prompting clients to evolve their expectations, decision-making faster than most professional service firms. So, you know, that's a challenge when your clients have needs and expectations that have changed and are navigating their own complexity, and you're delivering professional solutions and service for a living, and you're not evolving as fast enough. That's a recipe for real disruption. So, and this isn't a 2025 conversation. This is right now, real time.
What are you gave some great examples. Tell me a little bit more about what you mean about this notion of changing customer and client expectations. What's happening that you're seeing there's a lot, obviously.
Yeah, the world is changing. So, you know, I mean, I gave a couple of examples in the keynote, but there are a couple of things. One, technology is a big driver of this, right? So, you know, everybody has access to all of the information in the world in the back of their jeans now. Mm-hmm. And that changes things. But I kind of refer to this as the experience of everything. So my experience consuming media on Netflix, you know, interruption free in the palm of my hand, the way I want it, when I want it, that affects my expectations of you, right? The fact that, you know, when I need to go somewhere, I can pull my phone out, open an app, right, know exactly where my driver is, see his picture, have his phone number, know precisely when the town car is pulling up to the curb, then I get to go rate him after he drops me off. That changes everything. Here's another one. Amazon, paper towels. And half hour later, there's paper. And who? That's bad for certain kinds. That's not good for Walmart. Right. That's not good for Target.
Oh, I don't even have to. I've got a printer at home in my office that has the inkjet cartridges in it. And when one of them starts to run low, the printer contacts Amazon and says, hey, he needs one of these cartridges. I don't have to do a thing. So, right. I mean.
That's it. And don't think for a second that doesn't affect someone's expectations in a professional services client relationship. Mm-hmm. Because I can tell you personally, it affects mine.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's been some research to kind of bear that out on the accounting and finance end. There was a report that came out a couple of years ago that said the number one reason why clients decide to leave their CPA or accounting firm is because they provided them with reactive services instead of proactive advice. Instead, they want their CPAs to help them become more future ready. And yet CPAs at the same time are saying, we're not future ready. So it's
that dichotomy, that gap is the sense of urgency. And I personally, and I don't mind talking about this publicly, I changed my CPA in the last 18 months. And that was the reason I need, as my business complexity evolves and I'm preparing to grow into the future, I need to make sure that I have a team of professionals around me that is anticipating my needs, that makes a commitment to deeply understanding my business and my plans for the future. So I need a strategic advisor, not somebody who prepares my taxes and responds to my requests. And those are two different relationships.
Yeah, easily. And yet, you know, and I've heard them say it, there are folks out there in our profession who will say, hey, I'm making money. like hand over fist. I'm doing really well. Why should I have to worry about changing at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, and you know, I would say you are until you're not, right? And so, you know, success breeds complacency, and every business should constantly be conducting little experiments. It's the way to think about it is this: you have to have a foot in two worlds. It's great that you're successful today. Continue to drive, execute, and perform given today's marketplace reality. But you have to devote a certain percentage of your time to evolving, initiating invention into the future. And it's the balance of those two things that I think is important to consider. And if you don't buy into it, you're not interested in growth and being relevant in a 2025 world, and you can't see the trend line and talk to people and get a feel for that, and that's why I started with the opening story of working for a professional services firm that didn't anticipate the change. And the reality of that story is the time to change is before you have to. Because when you're reacting to conditions, when your numbers are challenged and clients are leaving, then it's too late.
Yeah.
And no one wants to be in that situation.
So how do you do that? How do you get into that mindset where you're experimenting, you're innovating, you're trying new things when the reality is that you feel overwhelmed and just busier than you've ever been and don't have the time to do that? What are some steps?
Mindset and process discipline. And yeah. I would say this, what gets scheduled gets done. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you have to be fanatical about making time for this. You make it a priority in your business. Just like you can make other priorities, right? For me personally, I travel 155 days a year. It's hard to stay healthy when I'm on the road, and so fitness has to be a priority. And I hate working out. I absolutely detest it. The only way I'm going to do it is if it's in my calendar, because I can come up with a million. I can rationalize, well, you know, they scheduled a call for me, or so and so wants to meet. I can rationalize that decision. It's the same with my business. Mm-hmm. We have to have a future-proofing planning meeting on the calendar. With an agenda. We have to be conducting three experiments at all times and iterating and advancing forward. If we're not getting better, we're getting worse. And so there is no status quo. Clients and the world around us is changing too fast. There's too much disruption happening. That's an opportunity if you're leaning into it. So that is the approach to making sure this is part of your practice.
Yeah. It's that notion that, I mean, we make time for the stuff that's important to us, right? No matter what it is, whether it's watching 3 hours of TV at night or working out or whatever.
Tell me what your priorities are and then hand me your calendar and I'll reverse engineer your calendar for the last 3 weeks and tell you if you're shooting it straight,
yep.
Period.
Yep. Slightly different direction here. Toward the end of your keynote today, you were talking about the importance of winning the morning. First of all, tell me why that's important, and second of all, what do you do to make that happen?
I'm a big believer in routines and rituals. It's kind of like the whole idea of, you know, having a routine around how you approach wellness, or, you know, having a routine around how you approach future proofing. I brand everything, right? So it's mm-hmm. our future proofing planning session for 2019, and everybody knows what that means, and we're all thinking about it a certain way, and we're preparing for it, and we all get assignments, and we come into the meeting ready to contribute to that, and we have talked about the three experiments we're conducting. So that's kind of my ethos. But I also believe as a leader, you know, I talked about this kind of showing up as the best version of who I am consistently in the service of others. And I just find taking some time for myself to prepare myself to be the best version of who I am in the morning is an effective routine. Yep. So the philosophy behind it is set yourself up for success. Start properly. Win the morning, win the day. And so my routine, I think I mentioned it, it's pretty straightforward. It's 5 minutes of meditation, getting calm and centered. It's a 5 minute gratitude practice. I think about three things that I can be grateful, simple things. Mm-hmm. And then three things that I want to accomplish to make today great. I'm going to my intention for the day. Yeah. And I jot those down in a journal. I use the 5 minute journal. And then depending, and then the rest of the morning routine can vary based on circumstances. So if I'm home and I'm not speaking or I have an office day, that would typically include exercise. So I would build on that, then I would go do an exercise session. Obviously with my schedule in flux, you know, today I'd be down here at 7 a.m., so exercise is coming later. Mm-hmm. So it'll vary, but those 15 minutes are locked in.
And this is, you know, a lot of people will look at stuff like that and say, oh, that's just, you know, that's fluffy, touchy, feely stuff. It's not. There's real power behind
it. Well, there's a lot more research around mindfulness that's becoming mainstream. And, you know, you can move yourself into a state of, you know, just being aware and feeling good. And, you know, versus, you know, immediately picking up my phone, going into my email inbox, you know, putting cereal or a scone into my body. And, you know, by 10 o'clock, I'm depleted. Yeah. Right, I'm anxious, I'm overwhelmed, I'm frustrated, I have low energy, and I've got 7 hours worth of work left. That's not where I want to be.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Gratitude. I want to get back to that for a second because I love what you had to say about gratitude. Why is that important?
Thank you. Well, I think we're going to have to navigate adversity. You know, understand this. in this work, in life, the adversity is coming. You know, none of us gets a pass on that. Yeah. So, you know, the only reality is that change is happening. Whether you choose to accept it or not, that's your personal choice. It's going to happen whether you want it to or not. We're constantly in a state of flux. The future has never been more uncertain. That's our reality. So the gratitude practice just gives you perspective. Anybody that's at this conference or listening to this podcast has so much to be grateful for. And when you consider, you know, the alternatives, and no matter what we're going to go through hard things. I told a hard story about a hard time in my life today. You know, I'm not immune to that. More is going to come. But if I can have the perspective on that, it's a practice that I found. It gives me deep perspective on what's important. And it helps me connect to and be aware of other people in a different way. And I think those can serve as a catalyst to just be a better version of who I am. And that's where I want to be.
That's great. And I mean, doing stuff like that makes us better people, better leaders. And I love the way you defined leadership as well. But tell our listeners,
yeah,
how do you define that?
Leadership isn't a job. It's a responsibility and an opportunity. And it's not about us. It's about humility, service, sacrifice, selflessness, and truly helping other people become the very best they're capable of being. Mm-hmm. That's the essence of leadership. It's about helping other people.
Lifting other folks up.
Lifting other people up.
That's amazing. So anyone here at this conference, they go back to the office. Anyone listening to this podcast, they turn it off, they go back to work. What's the first thing they ought to do to make themselves, you know, that much more ready for what's coming?
Decide tomorrow. And commit. So decide about specifically about that much more. Mm-hmm. Have a plan. Because that much more is way too vague.
Yeah.
But if I said, wow, I'm going to try that morning ritual. I'm going to get the 5-minute journal on Amazon. And for the next 30 days, I'm going to commit to his 15-minute practice. And then I'll come up for air in 30 days and see how different things are. But I'm taking it. That's a plan. That's specific. That's intentional. You write it down. Maybe you tell somebody else, hey, I'm doing this. You want to do it with me? Communicate it out loud. Decide and commit. Because nothing changes until and you know how you know you've made a commitment? When you do something. So, you know, thinking about it, you know, I'm going to get around to that. Yeah. But doing something different, that's the evidence.
Right.
So I'd say decide and commit. If you could do one thing, have a plan. Decide and commit to something different. Write it down. Conduct an experiment. And that's how you create momentum and move forward in the direction you desire.
Ryan Estes, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
It's a pleasure.
That was Ryan Estes, a sales and leadership expert who prepares companies and individuals to embrace change and achieve breakthrough performance. You can find out more, read his blog, download his ebooks, and a whole lot more at ryanestis.com. That's ryanestis.com.